Hello, church. So thrilled to be with you together today as we continue our series, 21 Days of Prayer. And I want to invite you to make sure you use our app, use the prayer guide, or pick one physically up next time you're at any one of our locations. Today, we're going to be talking about something that maybe you're like, what is that? I've never heard of that. The tabernacle prayer. And we're going to be diving deeper into what does the tabernacle do, and then how does it apply to your life. So first, what I want you to do is see this video of what the tabernacle of Moses would have looked like. Check it out. I want to thank Kevin McClure for finding that for us. One of our worship team leaders who was here today. And wasn't that worship great this morning? We'll continue in that. But hey, listen, I want you to know, what is the tabernacle? What is the temple of God? And what is the significance of all seven of the spaces that you progress through? That's one of my goals today. My second goal is, why does it even matter for you this day? So let's dive into the tabernacle and what it looked like. First, they would have entered, a person of the Old Testament would have entered into the outer court. Now, what happens in this outer court? This is where everyone would gather around in the outer court, and you would come and you would give thanks. This is where the thanksgiving to God was. Now, I want you to be really, really cognizant of that, in the fact that this is saying, as you come into the presence of God, and that's what the tabernacle was. The people of God came into the very presence of God through the tabernacle. And so you came to meet God there. And when you met him, you were to start in the outer court by meeting him with thanksgiving. No matter what was going on in your life, to meet him with thanksgiving, to be thankful for God for all the work that he has done in the past, for the work that he's doing in your life, and the work that he will continue to do. So this temple court that God designed, specifically designed, is a design so that people would come with thanksgiving for being his people and the work of his hand as his greatest creation. And so from Psalms, we see in this tabernacle, we see the word of God in the book of Psalms, right? And there we see that you would enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to his name and praise his name. And that's what was to happen as you entered into the outer court. I can't help but Paul, when he wrote in the New Testament that we should rejoice always, rejoice, I say it again, and give thanks for everything. I can't help but think that Paul thought back to the outer court as you came to God, to be a thankful people. So you start in the outer court with thanksgiving. The second step as you would be into the temple would be to this brazen altar. And this is an important part in that brazen altar, because as you would come here, this is where a sacrifice would be made on your behalf as you come to the Lord. Now, this could be a thank offering sacrifice. This could be a sacrifice of cleansing for a sin. This could be a sacrifice of cleansing because of an impurity in your life. So you would make a sacrifice, whether it was small of birds or whether it was larger of larger small animals. You would have bought them, and this is where the sacrifice would have happened. Now, you and I know that as Christians, this is the spot where we come in and recognize that we don't make sacrifices today anymore because the final sacrifice has already been made. And that's the sacrifice of Jesus. And so what do we have in that sacrificial of Christ? Well, we have the five full blessings of the sacrifice of Jesus that start. And I want you to take this. You can take this acronym that I'm going to use, the first letter of each one, to help remember this. Breaths, right? And so B, that you are blessed by the sacrifice of Christ. R, that you are redeemed by the sacrifice of Christ. T, that you are transformed by the sacrifice of Jesus. H, that you are healed physically, spiritually, and emotionally by the sacrifice of Jesus forever. And lastly, salvation. Because of the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross and his resurrection in the empty tomb, today you are saved. As a Jesus person, you are saved. And so we have this great sacrifice in this brazen altar. And Psalm 133, verses 2 through 5, tells us that we can praise the Lord, my soul, and not forget all his benefits, who forgives you all of your sins and heals you all of your diseases, who redeems you from your life, from the pit, and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Yes. You have been saved. The sacrifice in the Old Testament was a reminder that you are forgiven. You can approach God. And in the New Testament, we know that that sacrifice is through Jesus Christ. And so we don't have a sacrificial system anymore because that has happened in our Lord and our Savior. So as you'd move from the brazen altar, you'd then move to the lavar. And this lavar is a place of cleansing. So there would have been a bowl, and it would have been filled with water, and you would have cleansed to symbolically and to forever cleanse your sins. So you'd wash your hands, and you'd be clean. You want to present yourself clean before God and come to him in full cleanliness. And so you would move into that cleanliness there. Romans 12:1 says to us, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." And this is where we come as God's people in the Old Testament, as well as God's people in the New Testament, and as God's people here today, and we cleanse our minds, our thoughts, we cleanse our eyes and what we look at and what we go to see. We cleanse our hearts, the things of our hearts, the desires of our hearts. And we even cleanse physically our hands and our feet, where we go and what we do. And so this is the cleansing that we look for in the lavar. And we look to be clean before God, because as we're moving into this tabernacle, We're now moving from this outer area, and we're going to now start to move into this holy place. And this is the holy place in the Old Testament where only priests now would have gone. And so that's where we move into this holy place. And the first part is the candlestick that you would have found as you came into the holy place. You would have found this candlestick. Now, let me tell you about this candlestick. It's 75 pounds of pure gold, just gold, 75 pounds. I'll let you do the Google math of what that would cost today, but it's astronomical. Now, here's the beauty of the candlestick. It was so bright in this holy place, there was only the walls. There were no windows, so no other light would come in. That candlestick was so bright that it would light the entire holy place so that you would not see any darkness in that holy place. And we know from this that the Spirit of the Lord would rest on him. In Isaiah 11:2, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. And so that holy place was where you would go in order to see that there's no darkness. Because in this place is God, and God is light. I also believe in the New Testament when Jesus talked about, you are the light of the world. And that you will go, and where light will come, that there will be no darkness. This is the reminder that where Jesus is and where God is, darkness cannot prevail. And so they would have experienced that in that room. And from there, you would have seen in that holy place something called the table of shewbread. The table of shewbread. And here's what I love about the table of shewbread. It would have had 12 loaves of bread, and that term shewbread means bread of presence. And so it would have been that this is a symbolic reminder for all 12 tribes, that's why there are 12 loaves, that all 12 tribes, that God is present. Now, for the Old Testament people, it would have been a reminder that through the Word of God, He is always with them and He is present with them. From Joshua 1, verse 8, keep the book of the law always on your lips, meditate on it day and night, that you may be careful to do everything written in it, that you will be prosperous and successful, that the presence of God, the people of God, are blessed as they think about the things of God and as they meditate on these things of God day and night, always. But today, we know that Jesus came and said, I am the bread of life. And today, the table of shewbread is not only do we have the Word of God who became flesh and tabernacled, that's a way you can translate that, tabernacled amongst us, meaning that God was present with us, Emmanuel, but also we have the bread of life that He is giving us His very body and His blood. As Christians, we cannot look at the table of shewbread and not think of communion. This is why Jesus gave communion through the bread. That He said, this is my body. This is my presence physically with you. That's Mark 14. When they were eating, Jesus took bread and given thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, said, this is my body. Take it. How do we not see tabernacle stuff in this? He gave thanks, outer courts. He's the ultimate sacrifice, what he's going to be doing. We are cleansed of all of our sins. This is my body. The light of the world lets you see who he is. That table of shewbread. Next, as we move into the temple, we see that we have the altar of incense in this holy place. This would have been forever. There would have always been incense burning and raising up as a reminder to the Lord that God's people are always crying out and lifting up to Him. We know that there's references of being a good, pleasing, fragrant offering to God. There's incense that was given to Jesus. There's been incense as we see those fragrant offerings lifted. And in the Western church, if you've ever gone to a mainline denominational church in the West, whether it's in Europe or whether it's here in America, wherever it might be, but if you've gone to a Roman Catholic church, a Lutheran church, or a Methodist, Presbyterian, Episcopalian church, if you look at the altar area, more often than not, there will be a red candle that will be kind of lit. And that's called the eternal candle. And that's the reminder that it never goes out. That's a reference back to this incense area, this altar of incense, a constant lifting of God's people and prayers to Him. Proverbs 18:10 says this, "The name of the Lord is a fortified tower. The righteous run to it and are safe." And here's lastly what I want to say about that. This is that we are living in a constant act of worship. We know that name of God. We referenced it last week. Father. Abba, Father. By the power of the Holy Spirit, you cry out to Him. I believe that the New Testament writers would have thought about this altar of incense. And then as you look at the tabernacle in the Old Testament, there would have been a veil. Now, this would have been a heavy veil. This is the veil that tore open at the death of Christ on the cross. It would have taken, they say, in some of the Talmud writings, they say that it would take 30 priests to hang that veil. That's how heavy this veil is. And in that veil, that would have been what separates the holy place from the Holy of Holies. Now, only one person could go in the Holies of Holies, and that was the high priest. And he would only go in on one day, and that's the Day of Atonement. And they would often tie around him, not often, every time, they would tie around him a belt with a bell. And if that bell ever stopped ringing, they knew he died. And then they would pull him out by the rope. What is in this Holy of Holy Places? The Ark of the Covenant. And there would have been three things in that Ark of the Covenant. There would have been Aaron's rod with the bud upon it, the pot of manna that was given, and the tablets, the two tablets that had the Ten Commandments from Moses. This was in the Holy of Holies in the Ark of the Covenant. Reminder of this is who and where and God is present there. This was all the way up to Solomon's temple. After Solomon's temple, the pot of manna and Aaron's rod that had the bud on it were removed by an unholy king. And only the tablets from the Ten Commandments were in there. This is where we come and we know that God is the Lord and the King of all. I believe in 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4, that as Paul writes these words to Timothy, he says, "I urge you then, first of all, in prayers, petitions, intercession, thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and those in authority, that we'd live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth." And when this veil tore, God no longer said, "Everyone has to come to me." Through the death and resurrection of Jesus, God said, "I will go to everyone." To kings and paupers alike. To Greeks and Jews and Gentiles, to slaves and free, I will go and be their God. God now goes to us, not us to him. So what does this mean for you today? How does this apply to your life today? First, please know this. You are a royal priesthood. This is called the priesthood of all believers. You are a priest. You can come directly to God through your conversation, through your prayers, through your worship. You are in the presence of God everywhere because he is everywhere and he is with you today. So as you come to him in worship, come to him always in thanksgiving. You are the very temple of God. You bring with you his presence. So come in thanksgiving. And come see the sacrifice of Jesus. Know that he is blessing you. He has redeemed you. He is transforming you. He is healing you, and he has saved you. And confess your sins. What do you need to stop looking at? What negative thoughts do you need to stop thinking? What desires of the heart do you need to give up? What do you need to stop doing, or where do you need to stop going? You are the light of the world. You bring his light into the world. You, your life is a fragrant offering of worship. You get to commune and hold the very body of Christ, the bread of life, and partake in it. He is always with you. And lastly, in that Holy of Holies, yes, you get to worship him face to face. So this week, every day, our app will drop a banner app that will have one of these seven tabernacle prayers and encourage and invite you to be someone who prays. I pray that today you will see that you are the very temple of God, the tabernacle of God, to go all through the world and to bring the presence of God to everyone he's placed in your midst. And all of God's people said, Amen. The tabernacle.